Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet,
sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, I have the pleasure of having Dangerous Lee on the show, and she's going to talk about Keep Your Panties Up and Your Shirt Down. And this is a book she wrote. If you want to talk to her or have any questions, please feel free to call in at 347-324-3460, or you can post a question in the chat room. The chat room is now open, or you can pose a question on our Twitter at Twitter. I mean, hashtag Apple Capital. I'll go ahead and read the information on the air. Welcome to the program.
Thanks so much. How you doing?
Great. And yourself? I guess to begin with, tell us about yourself. Where are you from, and what inspired you to write this book?
Lordy, to talk about myself, do you really want me to get started?
Yes. We want to know who you are. You had this great marketing name, and you market yourself extremely well, and you have this great cause, and it's really was something that took interest to me, and I say, oh my gosh, I really need to have her on the show.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, you know, I'm a brand is what I'd like to consider myself. You know, I'm an entrepreneur. You know, I'm also, I dabble in acting. I paint. You know, I'm an activist, an author. I do all kind of different things, but I'm from Flint. I'm still living in the Flint area. I live in Burton. Mm-hmm. It's right outside of Flint. Mm-hmm. And the book Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down is a book of erotica, but it has an mm-hmm. emphasis on HIV education. And the title comes from something that my grandmother used to say to me and my other female cousins when we were growing up. So, and it's dedicated to her because she passed away in 2009. So I'm sure she would have got a kick out of it.
Wow. So how did you get the inspiration? I mean, I know you got the inspiration for the title, but it's a lot of creativity. I know that you mentioned you paint, and that kind of tells me about how you create things. But how did you create this whole book and this whole marketing for the book itself?
Well,
it just came into you in spurts, or you got up in the middle of the night at 2 o'clock in the morning, hey, I'll write this passage or this chapter. Or,
yeah, ideas do come to me in different ways, you know, and so much so that I don't always, like, remember how, because it's just such a crazy process. But, you know, the idea for the book was born, you know, years before I actually finished it, of course, like many good ideas are. But, you know, I was inspired by a special that I saw, you know, many years ago about HIV in America and how it affects, you know, African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what got me really passionate about HIV prevention and awareness. And from that passion, the book was born. You know, I know that I love reading erotica myself, and I know a lot of people enjoy reading erotica. And I said, well, mm-hmm. you know, I can take that and put some education in it, you know, on the sly. And it's not preachy. It's not hitting you over the head. Really, you don't even know that you're getting, you know, the educational aspect of it because it's kind of, you know, intertwined into the story in a way that, you know, you're getting it as well as you're being turned on by the erotica aspect because it is erotica. It's raunchy. So
mm-hmm.
I didn't leave any of that out at all.
Wow. Going to HIV, what inspired you to write something regarding HIV?
Well, as I said, just, you know, the fact that in America, African Americans have some of the highest infection
mm-hmm.
rates, that's really important to me to get the message out because, you know, it just doesn't make sense. You know, we can change it. HIV is preventable. You know,
mm-hmm.
no one ever has to get infected again if you just take the proper precautions, you know. And I want people to know how to protect themselves, because part of the reason why the rates are so high has to do with lack of education about the disease. So this is just my way of educating people about how easy it is to protect yourself and how you still can have a good time sexually. Because a lot of people think safe sex isn't fun. Of course it is. Mm-hmm. It's like, of course it is.
So I'm trying to regarding the project itself, I know I remember the time, I think, in the 80s when America and across the world was afraid, I mean, scared, trying to find a kind word. But I remember in coming out of high school and our first year of college when this came about, it was a really across the nation, from churches through college dorms. Everybody was afraid of every single thing because nobody had any education on what contracted.
Right.
We didn't know anything at all. I mean, we were just really scared. We had people in the choir that people were just afraid of, just even touching. There were funerals during that same period of time that you see a person covered over glass or plastic, which was kind of, or a veil, was kind of weird because nobody knew exactly what happened. We had this fear. And then finally, that later that year, the government came out with a pamphlet and started a huge education process. Then it kind of calmed people's fears from that point, since they know they can be contracted.
You have to understand that HIV is still a relatively young virus, you know. So there's, you know, lots of things that are going to be learned about the virus basically as we go on year after year after year, you know, because scientists and doctors, you know, are doing all kind of testing, and that's part of the process as well. That's why I think it's important for people to understand that, you know, if you believe in HIV awareness and education and finding a cure and that type of thing, then, you know, donate your money and your time to that, because, you know, the research goes into learning more about the disease, how, you know, they're even working on a vaccine. Of course, you know, they'd like to have a cure one day. And a lot of breakthroughs have come through, and I think that's part of the problem, too, is that people have this understanding that you can live with HIV, which is kind of a double-edged sword. So people don't take it as serious as they should, I think. You know, and then when we have people like Magic Johnson, who, of course, are alive and well with HIV, but it's not just him. It's not just him. But, you know, there are people who don't have access to medication, you know, that need the medication. So there's a lot of gray areas, you know, with HIV, and that's why you have to be educated on it in every way to fully understand it, because you're right, back in the beginning, you know, people thought it was airborne. You could get it from kissing and touching and things like that, but unprotected sex, and if you're an IV drug user that shares needles, those are the two things that are going to put you at risk with HIV. You know, and I just think it's important to get the message out there, because people don't see it as big as a threat as they used to. And that's a big deal, because the thing is if you're having unprotected sex, especially with multiple partners, you're at risk. If you enjoy unprotected anal sex, you're very much at a higher risk, because anal sex is more dangerous than any other kind of sex because of I'm rambling. But
No, you're fine.
But because the anal area can bleed, you know.
It's a direct contact with blood.
And then, you know, the four fluids that, you know, get you in trouble would be blood, semen, breast milk, and vaginal fluid. So, you know, that's all kind of sexual stuff going on there. So, yeah, there's so many things, and you know what? I managed to cram a lot of it into this 70-page book. And then there's a lot of terms that I use in the book that, you know, a lot of people may not understand. So I made sure to put, you know, like a glossary of terms in the back. And I also put in a fact and fiction section, because there's just so many misconceptions about HIV that it's kind of mind-boggling, but you know, that's just the way it goes, you know.
What would you say the misconceptions are if you put a line in between, hey, this is myth, this is fact? What are some of the things that you can think of at the top of your head? Maybe like 3 to 5. What is myth, what is fact?
I would say a lot of people believe that it's a gay disease, and it's not just a gay disease. You know, the gay population is disproportionately affected, just as the African-American population is disproportionately affected. So it's not just a black disease, and it's not just a gay disease. It's the sexual disease, and, of course, as I said, you know, if you're an IV drug user that shares needles, you're at risk as well. You can't get it from kissing or hugging or touching. It's not that easy to get. You know, it's not airborne. If it was, we'd all have it by now. You know, you can't look at someone and tell that they have HIV. A lot of people tend to think that you can. Now, you can look at somebody and assume all day, but you cannot look at someone and tell that they have HIV. And as I said earlier, I want people to know that HIV is totally preventable. You know, all of this unprotected sex that everybody's having because you think somebody looks clean or they smell good or you think that they're telling you the whole truth. If you ask them, you know, if they have it or have they ever had any STDs, you know, you have to protect yourself, men and women. So even though the book is titled Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down, I'm talking to the fellas too.
There you go. Honesty plays a big part of that, and some people are really not honest with themselves versus even just even saying that with another person that they care less about or even they care about because they probably eternally have not really come to the realization, I don't want to know.
A lot of people say they don't want to know.
I know probably in your book you address that as well about the person who don't want to know. Who know that, hey, I am a occasional drug user, you know, I'm an occasional, maybe go in other directions. Hey, I do some really high-risk behavior, swinging or whatever they call it. And even though now I found someone I care about or someone I want to date, and I'm not going to be honest with her because I'm not honest with myself for one, because I don't want to know. And then I do find someone I care about. Now I have, I'm not going to say anything because it may, you know, I have turned myself around. Maybe it's the download guy who wants to turn himself around. Hey, I've been re-delivered. I'm reborn, and that old life is gone, and I'm anew. And this is where I am today. However, you won't know until some time later, until something creeps up or you do an exam, or some people have to go to the doctors for a year, especially young people.
Right.
So they won't know until something really, really catches them off guard.
And see, by then it's going to be too late because you can go years without having symptoms, but pretty much 30 days after you've been infected, you would be able to tell with the test. And that's another misconception because a lot of people think, you know, well, you can go years and, you know, not have it. And that's not true. You can go years and not show symptoms. But let's say I had unprotected sex with someone today and I got HIV. A test 30 days from now would be able to let me know whether or not I'm HIV positive or HIV negative. So the only way for you to know is to be tested. So you do want to know. Unless you're ready to die, because when you find, the earlier you find out, the better. So if you were to find out exactly, you know, 30 days after you were infected that you had the HIV virus, you would be able to attack it better, you know, because it hasn't had time to affect your immune system as badly as it would if you had waited a year or 5 years to find out, you know, that you're living with HIV. You know, because basically that's what HIV does. It breaks down your immune system, and your immune system helps you to fight off, you know, diseases and infections. And, you know, HIV is killing your immune system, so it makes it easier for you to get other diseases and infections. So that's why most times when people have HIV and they die from something like cancer or pneumonia or something like that, because it makes it easier for you to get other diseases and die from that. But you definitely want to know because you can live with HIV. You can live a long and happy life with HIV. But the thing is that you're going to have to let everyone that you ever want to have sex with know that you have HIV. And you have some people who are okay with that because as long as they're having safe sex, they're having safe sex. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people are like, if I know somebody got HIV, I don't want to be bothered with them. And the thing is that if you're the type of person that goes around and sleeps with every Tom, Dick, and Harry, and you're not finding out what their, you know, sexual history is, then you probably already slept with someone with HIV. And you might be infected and you might not be infected, you know, because you can have sex with someone with HIV and not get infected. But that's a crapshoot, you know, and it depends on what kind of sex you're having. So, like I said earlier, there's so many gray areas with this, but believe me, you do want to know if you are HIV positive or HIV negative, because if you're negative, you're like, yes, work on ways to stay negative. You know,
stay negative.
It's totally preventable, and I don't think that people understand that it's preventable, and it's in your hands. You know, you got to care about your sexual health and the sexual health of the people that you're dealing with, you know. And that's another reason why I wrote the book, because really sexual health is like the last thing on many people's minds. You know, we live in a time where, you know, I got to pay my bills, I got to feed my babies, I got to work. So we don't always think about our health, but we have to think about our health because it'll start failing on us. And it may not just be because you have an STD, you know, diabetes, heart, cholesterol. You know, we have to take care of ourselves. We have to make our health a priority so we can be around a long time.
Yeah, I guess as a young person, I guess coming out of high school or in college, you know, you don't really think about that because you think 30, you're almost dead, you know. You can't fathom, you know, you and you're younger than I am, but we, you know, I thought like Logan's Run movie, you know, when you turn a certain age, oh my gosh, 30, that's a huge number, you know, and you just can't think beyond 30. But then when you get to 30, okay, 40, oh my gosh, I'm going to die again. And then you reach 50, you don't even care. You're just living, you know, you're just trying to maintain your health.
Yeah, I think the older you get, you understand that 30 is not old. It is not. You know, you just, when you're young, that just seems like such a big number, you know, or seems like you should be so far along in life. But that's not how it always works out. But to be honest, 13 to 25-year-olds have some of the highest rates of HIV. So these teenagers are wild and out, you know. They think they're invincible. They really do. They think nothing will happen to them. And teenagers are doing a lot of things that they don't think will put them at risk, like, you know, if they want to remain a virgin, for instance, a female, if she wants to remain a virgin, she'll only have anal sex. But that's putting you at a higher risk right there. You know, and most times they're not protecting themselves, you know. And oral sex puts you at risk as well, and a lot of kids are having oral sex. So you have to understand that any type of sex, oral, anal, vaginal, is going to put you at risk if it's unprotected.
So you do have antibodies in oral sex, of course, that can affect you.
Oh, yeah, because you got to remember
the
four fluids, blood, semen, breast milk, vaginal fluid.
Now, for example, I guess even just brushing your teeth, you know, you're loosening your gums, and or you might scratch yourself, and I guess you can get affected that particular way. Is there any studies with dealing with kissing? For example, everybody brushes their teeth twice a day, or you know, every day at least. And has any studies show within kissing that they're going to contract something as well?
Well, no. Kissing is not a factor at all, you know. I mean, unless a person has a mouthful of blood, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, that high level
concentration
blood. But
as far as brushing the teeth, we advise not to brush the teeth directly before or after, you know, sex, especially if you're going to perform oral sex, because as you said, it scratches the gums. So what that does is that opens up, you know, places for things to get. You know, that's why they say, you know, when it comes to oral sex, you either swallow immediately, and I'm going to tell you why, because I know people are like, what? So you swallow immediately or you spit out. So they say swallow or spit, don't let it sit. So don't let any fluids stay in your mouth because they'll have a chance to, you know, soak in through your gums, you know, because your gums are a mucous membrane.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be careful there. But they say swallow immediately, because if you swallow immediately, it goes straight to your esophagus. I personally still kind of have the gut in my gut that swallowing is not the best option, because if there are an STD or HIV present, I would think that it would still have a better chance, you know, if you're swallowing, for it to get into your system. But it's been said that swallowing immediately or spitting out is the best option when it comes to oral sex. Or use, like if you're performing oral sex on a woman, use a dental dam, which that will protect you from the vaginal fluid. If you're performing oral sex on a man, use like a flavored condom. So, yeah.
Okay.
There's all kind of ways to protect yourself regardless of what kind of sex you're having. And it can still be fun.
How can you, for the honesty perspective, how can you advise a person, hey, if you don't know, you don't know. And if you're going to date somebody, regardless, so you don't have a backlash, because you don't know what effect that if something comes around, what that reaction they're going to have. But if you discuss it at the very beginning, you know, the reaction might be, oh, you know, you might get slapped or you might get shot and killed. You know, you never know what the frame of mind of a person is today. If you tell someone and say, hey, I don't know, and they find out much later, and then they look at, okay, I've only been with this person, only one person in the last 90 days to 6 months, and some people go a whole year. You know, when they find out, they just live it. So
well,
how can you
I
have
mean,
a conversation?
If you're,
go ahead.
See, that's going to vary from person to person, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. There's really no way for me to say exactly how it's going to go, because we're all different, and we all have a different mentality when it comes to sex and sexuality. So you may run into somebody that doesn't want to hear. You may run into somebody that'll slap you and all of that, but I think the point is that you have the discussion, and I think, you know, you have to get to know someone first before you start talking about all of that. You know, in a perfect world, we talk things out first before we have sex, you know what I'm saying? But a lot of the times we don't. So I think that you just have to be prepared, because people don't want to have those conversations, and people aren't always having those conversations. So I just say be prepared with your dental dams, your condoms, your lube, all that good stuff. You know, you have to make having safe sex a priority. You know, I mean, for instance, with me, my condom, like if I know I'm going to have sex, and believe me, I know when I'm going to, I have, you know, the condoms and the lube somewhere near me. You know what I'm saying? Because that's just the way I am, because I'm so educated on it. I'm kind of anal about it, actually, but you have to be prepared, you know, carry things in your purse or wherever you have sex. Keep things near your bed, keep things near your car, or just, you know, you have to be prepared. You know, you have to make it a priority. But I know there are so many people out here who just go raw dog, willy-nilly, with any Tom, Dick, and Harry. And it's because they're not informed, they're not educated about it, you know. Lack of education is a big reason why so many people get infected. And I mean, that's just a sad fact. You know, the HIV and sex education is not what it used to be. In schools, they still do the sex education aspect, but every school is different. Some will only talk about, you know, the reproductive process. And then other schools, you know, they may get into the condoms and the STDs and pregnancy and things like that. But it's still a lot of misinformation going on, or just non-education, period. But, yes, I think talking to your partner, getting to know your partner, really, in general, not just sexual-wise, is a big first step.
Okay. Question regarding regarding a parent with a 13-year-old. Oh, my gosh. How can you have a discussion with a 13-year-old regarding this? What do you tell a parent, hey, this is what you need to do. You need to talk about it. Because it's a crapshoot, and how can you get your 13-year-old to listen to that? Well, maybe you want to say 10-year-old, because, you know, that's some kid.
I don't know what the big deal is. I mean, unless you yourself are not educated about STDs or HIV, it should be very easy to talk to your child. That's your child. That's your flesh and blood. Sit their little butt down and talk to them. You
but
know,
it's the comfort
and if you're
level.
Not, But, oh, come on, you got to be comfortable. This is your child. I don't understand what the big deal is. This is your baby. Be honest with them and tell them. It might be uncomfortable. So what? But you got to talk to your kids. I don't understand how people are uncomfortable talking to their kids. And my daughter, who is 10 now, I can remember when she was like 4 or 5, she asked me what gay meant. You know, because you got to understand, your kids are going to school with other kids. They hear all kind of stuff. There are all kind of things happening to your kids from other kids. So you got to talk to them before somebody else does that has no idea what they're talking about.
And give them misinformation.
Yeah, misinformation, you know. And,
so what
and
do you
get
do?
Comfortable talking. Just talk
okay.
to your kids.
So how the conversation would play out when you sit there and talk to a 10-year-old, what will you say to your 10-year-old to make them understand?
I would say let them ask the questions. Let your child ask the questions and you answer them as honestly as you can. If you don't know the answer, get your butt on Internet, Google, whatever, you know, and find the answer or ask somebody that knows. I'm sure that you have some type of STD, health department, HIV clinic in your area. Make it a priority. You know, to find the correct answer. Stop being afraid, because what's going to happen is that 10 or 13-year-old is going to bring home a baby or come crying to you with an STD, and you're going to wish you had that conversation.
Or if they tell you at all.
So, listen, you got to have a relationship with your kids.
Okay.
You have to ask questions as well. I don't understand why we're not doing it. Some of us are, but, you know... You have to talk to your kids. This is your baby. Hello.
Okay.
You know?
So you're going to talk to your baby. You know how to talk to them and make them understand, and so that they don't preach to you. So, again, that's some great advice. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Now, you tell me and you ask me questions, and you probably have to be honest with them and make them understand. Because some kids are mild-mannered. You tell things a certain way. Kids that are really aggressive, you got to tell them that they understand and they get it. So, you know, when
and
they roll their head back and roll your eyes and stuff, you just need to go there with them.
I think you have to start so early as far as using terms with them. Call it a penis. It's not a wee-wee or a winky. You know, sexuality and sex education starts very early, and it's very basic. This is your penis, or this is a vagina. These are breasts. You know what I'm saying? Teach them the correct terms so that it's not so uncomfortable. Even though my 10-year-old daughter, she's so goofy, when I say vagina or penis to her, it gets a chuckle, but she knows what mama's talking about. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You have to use the correct terms with your kids, and I think that that's a basic start. You know, because there are so many people who don't even know what, when I say anal sex, they're like, what's that? I'm like, oh, my God. You don't know what anal sex is. And they're doing it. That's the thing that kills me, is they don't even know what it's called, but they're doing it. So
they're
I'm
doing
like,
it.
You kids are something else.
Let's take a break real quick, and then we're going to talk about how you have an honest conversation or bring the honesty out of somebody. So let's take a 30-second commercial real quick, and we'll come back and we'll talk about how you can bring the honesty out of the partner, how you have that conversation on your when you date somebody, that you know something in your heart, in your spirit, or in your instinct that could be something, but you want to really get them to talk to you. So let's take a commercial break real quick, and we'll be back on with Dangerous Lee and her book.
You're listening to The Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida, is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com.
Great, we're back with Dangerous Lee. Keep your panties up and your shirt down.
Skirt down.
Shirts down, too. Everything. Advice that your grandmother gave you, which is really fitting. How can you have this conversation with someone on the first date, or I'm sure at the second date or whatever, and then when you have that in your spirit and instinct that you know something might be, how to get that information on your part? Because certain ways you can say something, they become defensive. Certain way you can say something that will bring that shield down, and that's the only thing you're looking for is say, hey, we can be together. I like you, blah, 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 but I just need to know. And if I ask you a question, it's not going to take a reflection on you, but I just want you to say yes or no. Just be honest with me, because that's if nothing else happened, let's be real good friends, or, you know. So how do you have that conversation?
You just have to bring things up, you know. But I would say maybe the first or second date may not be, you know, appropriate unless you're going to get busy the first or second date. So, you know, as I said earlier, it's going to vary from person to person, but you have to be willing to talk. And someone's reaction will tell you a lot. You know, it'll let you know whether or not, maybe I need to rethink having sex with this person. Or you're like, okay, great answer. I like how open and honest this person is, and they seem cool. And, you know, that might, you know, get you a little more excited about having sex with them. But either way, you need to be prepared to have safe sex. You know what I'm saying? But we got to be, I mean, because the thing is, what are you talking about? You know, if you're not talking about, you know, sex at some point in a relationship with someone, you know, I don't understand why it wouldn't naturally come up. You know, I mean, I wouldn't say just blurt it out. Oh, so have you ever had any STDs? Do you have HIV? Have you ever slept with a man? Blah, blah, blah. You got to learn to be sly with it and make it conversational. And I think a lot of times things will just kind of pop up because, like I said, at some point you're going to talk about sex with this person. So I would say that these questions should kind of just come naturally. But then even over a course of time, you'll get to kind of know somebody's character, you know. And as I've always said and as many women say, a man can say something really quick to make you not want to have sex with him. So, you know. Hey, and I'm sure women do too. That we can sometimes say things. It's like, I don't think I want to have sex with this person now. So just talk. A lot of people aren't communicating or talking. It's just about, ooh, you fine, you look good, you smell good. I like that car you got.
Yeah, I can.
You know. So we need to talk. You know, sex comes up all the time. So we need to start talking about sexual history and have you ever been tested, that type of thing. And just kind of let somebody know how important sexual health is to you. And, you know, kind of bring up, yeah, because I got condoms, you know. And you'll get a reaction from that too, because somebody will let you know whether or not they like condoms, because so many men say they don't like condoms because they can't feel anything, which is the biggest lie in the world. I mean, we all know it feels better without a condom, but it's not safe without a condom. So, yeah, just talk. Just be natural. Don't hit over the head with things, you know.
You know, when it comes to your, like Granny will always say, you know, whatever is shiny and glitters is not always good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost the same story. It's, you won't know. It might look good, but however, there's some underlying things that can be dangerous from you on this. You know, we've read in several newspaper stories, you know, some people finally know they were infected and infecting people intentionally, because then they may be not being honest with themselves, but they did know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a sense that they did not know. They had a test performed, and that test came back, and they knew, and they continue over a certain period of time to engage in this activity with people. And, you know, maybe cause, you know, the death of some few people or make them extremely sick. In your opinion, they should be convicted. I mean, there's no way really get
well,
around
it's a
that.
Felony.
It's I mean, some states. I'm not sure in all the states with felony yet, but you know, I'm
I
sure
believe
some.
It is. It's punishable by law, I would think, in every state. If it's not, then that's a damn shame. But yeah, if you have HIV and you know you have HIV, and you're infecting people on purpose, you're not telling people the truth, that type of thing, then yeah, it's considered a felony. I know it is here in Michigan. It might be considered different things in different states, but yes, it is punishable by law. But I mean, as far as the person has been infected, you can be upset all day with that person that infected you, but you have to take some personal responsibility because you chose to have unprotected sex with that mm-hmm. person. So yes, it's wrong, but you chose to have unprotected sex with that person. So you have to take some personal responsibility for
absolutely.
What happened to you.
Okay. And, of course, it's felony. Going back to the honesty conversation, and if you feel something, should you always go with your first instinct that something might be if the person who's telling you something different? If you do have that feeling, so just always go there. And is testing, is it, most cases you can go to a clinic that's free. Any other places that would test you free and or are there kits that can be mailed to you discreetly for you to get tested versus waiting until you have to take a blood test?
Yeah, all of the above. Like, for instance, here in Flint, I work with Wellness Aid Services, and they do rapid testing, which means you can get results within 15 minutes. So it's basically a finger prick. They take a little blood, you wait 15 minutes, and you'll know whether or not you're HIV positive or HIV negative. They still do mouth swab testing, but that takes a week for the results to come back. So, yeah, I would say check out your health department. Find out if you have an HIV testing clinic. Go to your doctor if you have one and be tested there. But, yeah, there are free clinics. So there's no excuse for nobody not knowing their status.
Okay. Let's talk about your book. How do you market yourself? I mean, you have several websites going on. You have Facebook. You have Twitter. How did you, when you wrote your book, you said it took a couple of years, but did you self-publish it or did you present it to a publisher and they published it for you?
I did present to publishers but was turned down, and I've learned over the years that, you know, if you're unknown, that what they do is they wait to see, you know, what kind of reception you'll get, you know, how many books you'll sell, how famous you can become with your book, and then they'll come running. But by then, you don't need them because you've done it on your own.
Mm-hmm.
But what people have to understand is that the self-publishing arena is over. It's so many people to compete with, you know, so you have to find ways to stand out. And really, it's a marketing game. Because really what you're doing is selling yourself. You know, being self-published or publishing in general is about marketing. It's marketing. So it's been tough, and I did self-publish. And it was about 2 years ago. Yep. 2 years ago the book came out. And, you know, I've had a couple of book releases. I've been featured in a local paper. I've done many internet radio interviews such as this one. Just different little things that I could do that would fit within my budget. But, yeah, I call myself a promotion whore, but that's what I have to be because I'm self-published. So I'm a mm-hmm. one-woman show.
Wow. So
I'm a one-woman show.
You're doing a good job with it. So, of course, you have Twitter friends and you have Facebook mm-hmm. Fan page. Any
you
other
have to
type
take
of...
advantage of social media. You have to.
Okay.
You know, if you have a product to sell or if you have a brand to promote, you have to attack social media. So you have to be on Twitter and Facebook and Tumblr and all these other, you know. And you kind of have to link them together, you know, where you post on Facebook, it goes to Twitter, that kind of stuff, so that you're not getting burnt out. But yeah, it's a lot of work. And, you know, I haven't, you know, you say I'm doing a good job, and I appreciate that, but, you know, it's not necessarily bringing in the dinero, and I could use the dinero, you know what I'm saying? But,
yeah,
I do. I market and promote the hell out of myself. You know, I have a website for the book that I've turned into kind of a sexual health and sex education kind of humorous website. So I post all kind of different sexual-related news and updates. And then I have, you know, dangerouslee.biz, which is the main entertainment website, you know, that's doing really, really well in the rankings. So, yeah, I just work my butt off. I mean, I love it. This is what I do.
Wow. So you do this full-time or you just do it part-time? Okay. And
yes. This year, actually, I began, you know, being self-employed full-time, and it is a lot of work. But even before, you know, because I still work contractually with Wellness Aid Services, but I used to work there part-time until this year. So, you know, and I was in school, too, and I'm a single mother, so I'm about gone nuts here. But, yeah, full-time, yeah.
So you go to school, and what's your major?
Psychology. So
wow.
I took some time off from school, and I'm probably going to be going back in a couple of months. But yeah, I had to take a break because it was just I was on overload, as you can imagine.
Wow. Any advice that you would give Book Arthur who's coming through this system? I mean, of course, you mentioned that it'd be on Twitter. They need to be on Facebook. You need to have a software that can communicate with all three of them. Any particular software you use to communicate all three?
No, they just, you know, I think every Facebook and Twitter, they have these different, you know, apps that you can use where, you know, if you post to one place, you can automatically post to another. And then with my website, it's WordPress-based. So every post kind of goes out to all of my social media sites.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's just you have to educate yourself on how everything works, you know. And I'm, you know, take the seminars and, you know, the teleseminars and the web seminars. You have to really educate yourself on marketing because that's, I'm telling you, that's what you're going to be doing. You're going to become a world-class marketer when you get that book out there, unless you're with the publisher who's doing all the work for you. And good Lord, if you can find an agent. I would love to have an agent. You know, I'm a one-woman show. I'm getting tired of it, you know. I love it, but it's like, oh, my God, I'm doing all of this myself.
Wow. So any plans on the second book?
Yes, and my goodness, when am I going to be able to sit down and actually focus on it? I have no idea, but it'll be another book of short stories because that's what I do is I write short stories. They won't be erotica-based. I tend to like to write in the area of thriller, sci-fi kind of stuff. But erotica is definitely my claim to fame. I was also in Zane's anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, which was a New York Times best-selling book. So I guess by default I'm a New York Times best-selling author.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
congratulations.
So even if I can't do it with my book, I've done it before with a bunch of other people, which is cool, too.
Great. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
In closing, any advice you would like to offer anyone who wants to go self-publish, any advice you want to offer in last words for people had to have that serious conversation about protecting their bodies, protecting themselves, and how to have that conversation with that significant one.
As far as advice to people self-publishing, I would say just, you know, as I said earlier, just educate yourself on marketing because it's going to be a marketing game is what it is.
Okay.
And just keep your head up because it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough unless, unlike me, you have a team of people around you to help you. But even then, it's going to be a lot of work. So just be prepared for that. Try to keep those spirits up because it's tough. But just remember, market, put yourself out there. And as far as having that conversation about safe sex, I mean, I don't know what else I can say that I haven't said, but you have to talk. You have to have that conversation. You have to get to know somebody before you allow them to enter you, or before you allow yourself to enter someone sexually. You have to care about your sexual health. And if, you know, you're not that type of person that's going to have that conversation, and the person you're with is not going to have that conversation, be prepared. Have your condoms on you. Just, you know, you have to be prepared to have safe sex, even if you don't want to talk about it.
Great. Well, again, I appreciate this 45 minutes with you. I mean, you have some great advice. I mean, I appreciate you coming on the show, talking about your book. And I think if people turn on this broadcast, they will get a earload about HIV, and because we spent the first 30 minutes on that and the last 15 minutes on your book. And again, how can they contact you on your book?
PantiesUpSkirtDown.com is the website. Mm-hmm. And then I'm on Twitter, Facebook. I'm even still on MySpace. So, you know, just Google Dangerously, and you'll be able to get in touch with me, and I answer all emails and messages. So, yeah, any questions, just ask away.
Great. I really appreciate it, and hopefully in the future I can have you back on the program to still talk about HIV and maybe your new book that's coming out.
Yeah, sounds good to me. I'd love to come back.
Great. I really appreciate it again. Thank you so very much for your time.
All right. Thanks for having me, and keep it
dangerous. Okay. Dangerously, appreciate you coming on the program.
Bye-bye. Have a good one.
Bye-bye. Have a good one. Again, this has been another production of The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. You can download this episode on iTunes, on Blog Talk Radio, or blog.applecapitalgroup. Again, thank you for listening to the program, and have a great day. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For more information about equipment financing and asset-based loans, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. Or call us at 866-611-7457. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to The Core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. And thanks again for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.